हरे कृष्ण। विल कंटिन्यू 10.41। इन द प्रीवियस क्लास वी डिस्कस्ड हाउ कृष्णा एंटर्ड मथुरा एंड अक्रूर रिक्वेस्टेड हिम टू कम टू हिज हाउस एंड देन कृष्णा सेड नो नो नॉट नाउ, आई विल कम आफ्टर किलिंग कम्सा एंड मीटिंग माई रिलेटिव्स। सो देन कृष्णा एंड बलराम एंटर्ड द सिटी। So as they were seeing the city was seeing them, Krishna, Balaram and all the cowherd boys. So we are in that description. 24th verse, right? Tam sampravishtau vasudeva nandanau vritau vayasyair naradeva vartmanam drashtum samiyush त्वरिताः पुरस्त्रियो हर्म्याणि चैवारुरुहुर् नृपोत्सुकाः।
द वुमन ऑफ मथुरा हरीली असेंबल्ड एंड वेंट फोर्थ टू सी द टू सन्स ऑफ वसुदेव एज दे एंटर्ड द सिटी ऑन द किंग्स रोड सराउंडेड बाय देयर काउहर्ड बॉयफ्रेंड्स। सम ऑफ द वुमन, माय डियर किंग, ईगरली क्लाइम्ड टू द रूफ्स ऑफ देयर हाउसेस टू सी देम।
Tam sampravishtau vasudeva nandanau, these two sons of Vasudev, when they entered Mathura city, then Naradeva Vartmana, so Vartma is road, so this is the road of the king, it's like a royal pathway, so they were on the royal pathway, they were walking, right? Although they are cowherd boys, they only have the habit of walking on the forest pathways. Now they are walking on city pathway. Drashtum samiyushtvaritaha purastriyo. Just to see these two boys accompanied by other gopas, purastrihi, the city women, they came. And harbhyani chaivaruruhur nrupotsukaha. So they started climbing on the rooftops, and from there they were watching. So regular women, simple women, they may come outside and then see also, but someone who is little more aristocratic and then wealthy, so they will not come on the road and then watch the show. They will go on the top balcony, gallery, and then from there they will watch. So, and it's also a nature of the cultured lady not to just come on the road and then watch it, even if something very exciting is happening. All the Hastinapur ladies also, they were sitting on the rooftops and then seeing Krishna when he was going to Dwarka. Now Krishna is entering Mathura and the Mathura ladies are also doing that. So far they were confined in their quarters within the house, protected by the sun. But now to have the darshan of Krishna, they are ready to tolerate the heat of the sun. So they went in the sunlight and from there they were watching. So the darshan of Krishna just made them so absorbed that the heat of the sun did not bother them. Kaschid viparyag dhritavastra bhushanam विस्मृत्य चैकं युगलेश्वथापराः कृतैकपत्रश्रवणैकनूपुरा नङ्क्त्वा द्वितीयं त्वपराश्च लोचनम्।
सम ऑफ द लेडीज पुट देयर क्लोथ्स एंड ऑर्नमेंट्स ऑन बैकवर्ड्स, others forgot one of their earrings or ankle bells, and others applied makeup to one eye but not the other.
Because they were so absorbed, they were so anxious to see Krishna coming outside, whatever they are doing, they left things in the middle. One earring they will put and the other ring they will forget. They don't comb their hair properly, they just came out. This is considered to be eagerness of the ladies. Someone who is spaced out also may do all this. But this is eagerness to see Krishna. This cannot be compared to the regular absent-mindedness of people in general. Ashantya ekas tadapa shasotsavam abhyajyamana akrutopamajjana svapantya utthaya nishamya nishvanam prapayayantorbham aho apohya matrata matara.
Those who were taking their meals abandoned them. Others went out without finishing their baths or massages. Women who were sleeping at once rose when they heard the commotion, and mothers breastfeeding their infants simply put them aside.
Something similar happened before the Rasalila also. They just left everything in the middle. And when the gopis, even if they were doing so many other household activities also, their minds are absorbed in Krishna and Balaram only. So this is a very wonderful symptom of exalted devotees, to always be overwhelmed with the thoughts of Krishna and exhibit their eagerness to see Krishna, and what the activity that they are doing goes into the background, although apparently it is seen in the foreground, but that is being done very mechanically and in an external way, but their mind is absorbed in Krishna. Manam sitasam aravindalochana pragalbhya leela hasitava lokaihi jaharamatta dviradendra vikramo drisham dadat shri ramanatmanotsavam.
The lotus-eyed lord, smiling as he recalled his bold pastimes, captivated those ladies' minds with his glances. He walked with the giant of a lordly elephant in rut, creating a festival for their eyes with his transcendental body, which is the source of pleasure for the divine goddess of fortune.
Manamsi tasam aravinda lochana. All their minds and their whole consciousness is captivated by the beautiful glances of Krishna, lotus-eyed Krishna, aravinda lochana, pragalbha leela hasitava lokaihi. His bold pastimes, pragalbha leela means bold pastimes, and hasitava lokana, his beautiful smiles and glances. So he walked with the gait of a lordly elephant. Then it is like Sri Ramanatmanotsavam. It is the Utsava, festival for the eyes, to see that Lord who is the source of pleasure for Sri. Sri is goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. But the Vrindavan description is, he is Radha Raman. Here it is Sri Raman. Sri Raman, Radha Raman. So when the opulence or majesty of the Lord has to be highlighted, it is Sri Raman, Narayan. Or even if it is Krishna also, it is Rukmini Raman or whatever. But Radha Raman is the highest description of Krishna in Vrindavan. So to see Krishna is the greatest pleasure for the eyes. Nityam nirikshamananam yadapi dvarakaukasam navitrupyanti hidrishah shriyo dhamangamachyutam. All the bodily limbs of Krishna are like the abode of all beauties. So shriyo dhama angam achyutam. Achyutas anga are the dham of all shris, all opulences. So nityam nirikshamananam, all the people see that form nityam regularly, still there is no satiation. Drishtva bahushrutam anudruta chetasastam drishtva muhusrutam anudrata chetasastam tat prekshanot smita sudokshana labdhamanaha ఆనందమూర్తిముపగూహ్య దృశాత్మలబ్ధం హృష్యత్వచో జహురనంతమరిందమాధిం.
The ladies of Mathura had repeatedly heard about Krishna, and thus, as soon as they saw him, their hearts melted. They felt honored that he was sprinkling upon them the nectar of his glances and broad smiles. Taking him into their hearts through their eyes, they embraced him, the embodiment of all ecstasy. And as their bodily hair stood on end, O subduer of enemies, they forgot the unlimited distress caused by his absence.
So, not being able to see Krishna is the greatest cause of distress. So far, Mathuravasis are actually not with Krishna. That means they were undergoing any distressful condition. Now, once you come in contact with that beloved object, your beloved object, then you realize, hey, what I have been doing all this time is only waste of time. So far we were in great distress. Even to realize that, you need a glimpse of what is happiness. Now, for example, somebody is making chapati for you every day and then feeding you. 1 year you have been eating that chapati. You are conditioned to eating that chapati. Now you change the location, go to a different place. They make chapati and feed you. Very authentic way and very wonderful way. Then you say, this is chapati. So far what I have been eating? No, North India may be idli banate. North Indians also make sambar, idli, dosa and all this. Uttappa. Then you are conditioned to eating all that. Once you go to South India at Srirangam or Tirupati, you start eating that one piece of idli, then you understand, oh, is this uttappa? Is this dosa? What I have been doing so far is all, that is not dosa only, that is so-called dosa, so-called uttappa, that is authentic. And South Indian people also make paratha sometimes. So, different timings are there for us to realize what is actual bliss. In the material world, one is conditioned to certain kind of happiness. And you are just used to it. You don't feel like changing the flavor because you are so used to it. Once you are given the right way of happiness, then you will understand, my God, this is happiness. So far I have been searching happiness in some stupid things. That's what Dhruvamara said. I thought attaining a position superior to Brahma is the highest form of happiness. That's what I have been hankering for so far. But now I realize I was only hankering for broken pieces of glasses. You are giving me diamonds. So now they have realized. They have forgotten all unlimited distress caused by his absence. So his darshan has to bring that realization. Drishtva muhuhu shrutam anudruta chetasastvam. So all these ladies have been hearing about Krishna all these days. It's not that Krishna is unknown to them. Because whatever heroic activities that Krishna has been performing in Vrindavan, that news is coming to Dwarka, news is coming to Mathura. At that time Dwarka was not there. So all the Mathura vasis are aware of Krishna's activities, but not in specific detail. And they have never seen him also. They never went to Vrindavan and Krishna never came to Mathura. And there were no newspapers or websites at that time to get updated. Now you can see a person who is sitting in America also. Right? You can have a conversation with him also, if you like. What is that? Video call, video conference. But in those days, all this were not existing. So, drishtva muhuhi shrutam anudruta chetasastam. So, because they have been hearing about Krishna, their hearts were melting. Anudruta chetasastam. Tat prekshanot smita sudokshna labdhamanaha. So they felt honored when there is the sprinkling of nectar, that is ukshana. Ukshana means prokshana, you say, right? Ukshana. So sudha ukshana. So by his darshan and by his glances, nectar is being sprinkled upon them. So they were feeling so happy because of that. Anandamurti Mupaguhya Drishatmalabdham. So they start taking Krishna's beautiful form through their eyes, into their hearts, and within their hearts they embrace it. That's what the Dwaraka queens also did in the first canto. As soon as Krishna comes there from Hastinapur, so because of the culture, because of etiquette and because of shy, they don't directly just come forward and then embrace Krishna. They embrace Krishna within their eyes and within their hearts only. So this is the way of expressing one's hidden love for the beloved, keeping it within only. So that's what the gopis were also doing. Because of social customs, they cannot directly come and express their love. Their love for Krishna is hidden. Hidden means gopyaha. That's why they are called gopis. So it's hidden love, it's confidential love. It is not revealed love. It has been kept secretly within their hearts. And only during Rasa Leela and then when Krishna was leaving Vrindavan, that was like opened. What has been kept as gopya. Gopya, you understand? Gopya means it's very confidential and then secret. So that secret love has been revealed. And how much love they have. They have been keeping it secret for such a long time and they have hardly expressed it a couple of times. Right? That's why they are called gopis. So now these people, Mathura women also are having such kind of feelings towards Krishna. Definitely not as much as the gopis. But because of the blessings of the gopis, because of the prediction of the gopis, they also developed a lot of attraction and towards Krishna. And they were having Nayanotsava, celebration for their eyes. So Krishna's absence means distress. Now Krishna's presence means nectar sprinkling. That's what they are experiencing. Next. Prasada Sikhararudha Prityutfulla Mukhambhujaha Abhyavarsham Saumanasyaihi Pramada Balakeshavau Prasada Sikhararudha. So prasada means the palace, the mansions. Sikhara arudaha. They have climbed on top of the palaces. Then priti utfulla mukhambujaha. So from there, they were their faces were blooming with affection. Priti utfulla. Utfulla means blooming. Priti. That is with affection. Mukhambujaha. They were having lotus-like faces. So they rained down showers of flowers. Abhyavarshan Saumanasyaihi. So Sumana means a flower. Abhyavarshan, they were doing Pushyabhishek. Pramada Balakeshavu. Pramada means all these ladies. They were showering flower rain on whom? Bala and Keshava. Balaram and Krishna. So what are those flowers? The flowers are their smiles. And their actions indicating that their minds are delighted by seeing Krishna in love. That is the flowers, not literally. Maybe literally all treatment has happened, but here Acharyas explain that it's all showering flowers through their smiles and glances and love and the feelings. So Krishna and Balaram are appearing like black and white movie there. One is black, one is white. They are moving. Next. Both are like moons only. One is black moon, one is white moon. 30th verse. Dadhyakshatai sodapatrai sragandhair abhyupayanai tavanarchuhu pramaduti pramuditaha tatra tatra dvijataya.
Brahmana, standing along the way, honored the two lords representations of yoga. Unbroken barley corns, pots full of water, garlands, fragrant substances such as sandalwood paste and other items of worship.
So, how Brahmanas honored Krishna and what all kinds of presentations were given are mentioned in this verse. Next.
Uchuhu paura aho gopyaha tapaha kimacharan mahat Yahyetavahu Pashyanti Naraloka Mahotsavau.
The women of Mathura exclaimed, "Oh, what severe austerities the gopis must have performed to be able to regularly see Krishna and Balaram, who are the greatest source of pleasure for all mankind."
Okay. So the gopis must have performed great austerities to be able to see Krishna. Uchuhu paura aho gopyah tapah kim acharan mahat. Again, tapa should not be taken literally, because tapa is never a qualification to be able to see Krishna in Vrindavan. Okay. So what kind of tapa did they perform? Because yahyeta vanupashyanti naraloka mahotsava. Krishna is Vanita Loka Mahotsava and then Naraloka Mahotsava. Even men and women and people in general, even in his own incarnations, all the demigods, everyone would get attracted to see Krishna. It's a Mahotsava, it's a great celebration for anyone to see Krishna. That's why gopis say, Akshanvatam Phalamidam Naparam Vidama. We don't find any other benefit, any other purpose for having eyes other than seeing Krishna. So even he also appreciates the fortune of the Vrajavasis, Brahmaji. Aho bhagyam, aho bhagyam, nanda gopa prajavakasam, yan mitram paramanandam puranam brahma sanatanam. What kind of great fortune that the Vrajavasis are having. They are able to play with Krishna, they are able to interact with Krishna every day. So this is the great joy of the good citizens described. So far, what Sutta Goswami is describing is the joy of good citizens. But not every citizen in Mathura is good. Bad citizens also are there. One example is washerman. That episode will start from 32nd verse. So from 24th verse till 31st verse. So these are all description of some people who are having great celebration to see Krishna. But some people did not celebrate like that. So when Krishna and Balaram reached Mathura, they became very eager. It was around afternoon time. So the rath started early in the morning from Vrindavan. Around afternoon they reached Mathura. And Akrura offered prayers and then requested Krishna and Balaram to come to their house, and then Krishna and Balaram said, "No, we'll come after meeting Kamsa and then killing him." So Nanda Maharaj said, "Krishna and Balaram, definitely I know you are very eager to see the city of Mathura. So you can go along with your friends and see, but understand that it is Kamsa's city and you have to be extremely careful while walking in this city. So you can see the city and then come back very quickly and don't do any mischief there." So Nanda Maharaj warned him. So Krishna and Balaram said, yeah, Papa or whatever, Baba, whatever they may say. And then they went into the city. So far it has been peaceful. So now agitation will begin. It's just a beginning of agitation. That is with the washerman episode. So that will come from 32nd verse. So this Mathura is now, Mathura actually means sweetness. So the name suggests sweetness, but the actual sweetness of Mathura is being realized or manifested when Krishna entered. Without Mathurapati and with Kamsa as Mathurapati, what kind of sweetness you will experience? Now the actual sweetest personality, Krishna, the real Mathura of Mathura city, entered there. So now the city is appearing very resplendent. So all this, Krishna is like the sweetness, and all these women are like moonlight, right? The sweetness of the moon is being seen now. So 32nd verse onwards we have washerman episode. Rajakam kanchidayantam rangakaram gadagrajaham drishtvayajatavasamsi Dhautan yatyuttama nicham. Rajakam kanchadayantam. Rajaka means washerman. So one washerman is approaching there. Right, when Krishna and Balaram and other cowherd boys are just walking on the road of Mathura, one washerman was approaching towards them. And what kind of washerman is he? He is called Rangakaram. Rangakara means one who is engaged in dyeing. Dyeing means putting color on the clothes. So, Rajaka means one who washes clothes only. Rangakara means along with washing clothes, he will put color on the clothes also. Dyeing also he does. So, Brahmacharis are both. Brahmacharis are Rajaka also, Rangakara also. They have to dye their clothes also. After some time, for you. So, Rajakam, Rangakaram, Gadagrajaha. So, Gadagraja means someone who is the elder brother of Gada, personality named Gada. And who is this Gada? He is one of the sons of Vasudev, Krishna's cousin brother. So, Krishna is often addressed as Gadagrajaha, because Gada is a very important and well-behaved, and a cousin of Krishna who is endowed with all good qualities. So Krishna is often addressed as Gada Agrajaha. But Krishna has more good qualities. So Gada Agrajaha means, yes, Gada has good qualities. Gada Agrajaha means he has more good qualities. That's why Krishna is addressed as Gada Agrajaha. Gada is known for having good qualities, but he is Agraja. Right? Uska bade bhai. So he must be having more good qualities. So, Drishtva Achyuta Vasamsi. Now, this fellow, who is that? This Rangakara, he saw Achyuta. Achyuta saw this Rangakara. So, seeing this washerman approaching, Krishna asked him, so, Dhautani Ati Uttamanicha, can you please give us some good clothes? We are small boys coming from Vrindavan village. Please give us some clothes. We are very eager. Like that he asked. So this Rajaka is a very loyal follower of Kamsa. Trustworthy dhobi wala. How do you pronounce dhobi? Dhobi. 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 Washerman. So he is a very loyal follower of Kamsa and very trustworthy washerman of Kamsa. So, because he is so loyal to a demoniac person, he is also demoniac. So, whomever you are loyal to, you have to acquire their qualities. Yeah, I am loyal to this person, but my nature is totally different from his nature. Aisa nahi hota hai. You are imbibing some qualities also. If you are loyal to the parampara, you are loyal and you are chaste to the parampara, then you will acquire the qualities of parampara. In a smaller proportion, but that kind of overlap should be there. Everybody knows how demoniac is Kamsa, and how can you expect some divine nature from the follower of a demoniac person? So this washerman is also having a demoniac nature. So this Gada, about this Gada, there are actually two Gadas. So Rohini has three sons. One is Balaram, Gada and Sarana. And Vasudev has another wife. Her name is Devarakshita. She also had a son, Gada. So this Gada started playing with Krishna sometimes in Mathura. The two Gadas. So Krishna is addressed as Gada Gajaha. It could mean anything. Who exactly is being addressed? Devarakshita's son or Rohini's son? We don't know. So, this washerman, he washes clothes, he dyes clothes, and also he sells clothes. So, he has that kind of background also. So, but to deceive Krishna, this washerman said, I will not give these clothes to you. I will not even sell. So, he is denying any opportunity for Krishna to take some clothes. Let's see what happens next. So now you see the fortune of this Rangakara, fortune of this washerman. Krishna is directly coming and asking him, give me an offering. Now we make clothes and then we offer clothes to the deities, right? And deities kindly accept them. But Krishna is directly coming to this washerman and asking, please give me some clothes. Idam vastram. So you don't have to say idam vastram. Please accept my cloth, my dear Krishna. He did not do all that. Krishna is directly coming, I will accept your cloth, please give me. He said, I will not give. That is his disposition. He is denying that opportunity. Dehyavayoha samuchitani angavasam sicharato bhavishyati param shreyo dhatuste natra samshayaham.
Lord Krishna said, please give suitable garments to the two of us who certainly deserve them. If you grant this charity, you will undoubtedly receive the greatest benefit.
So this is a very important point to note. Many people have a very different conception about this washerman episode. Krishna asked the washerman, give me some clothes. And washerman said, no, these are meant for Kamsa, don't ask me. And Krishna killed him. What is Dadagiri kar rahe Krishna? So Krishna is just bossing over this fellow and you don't give him clothes and then he will kill you? What? Because different people have different misunderstandings about this episode. So last year or last to last year when I gave this class, I was explaining from all these purports. So one devotee came, Samarpan Goprabhu came and said. He said, dude, so far I have a totally different understanding of this washerman episode. I was thinking, how can it's not very appropriate on the part of Krishna to demand clothes from washerman, and if he doesn't give, he'll just kill. It's too much. But the descriptions given in Bhagavatam are very apt. It's good that Krishna killed him. So he will be convinced at the end. So he says, please give suitable garments to two of us who deserve them. So the washerman might say, how can I give you garments without any payment? So for that, Krishna is saying, we deserve them. Right? We deserve them because these are all nice clothes, we are nice, beautiful boys, and we are also coming from king's family. Whatever may be the reason, Krishna directly says, we deserve them. If you grant this charity, he may say, you are not giving me payment, but Krishna says, if you grant me this charity, you will undoubtedly receive the greatest benefit. Bhavishyati param shreyo. You will get ultimate auspiciousness. When you offer some cloth to Krishna, it is Krishna's promise that you will get shreya, param shreya, the supreme auspiciousness in your life. So offering cloth to Krishna, idam vastram, is not a small thing. Maybe you can quote this verse to the donors of Janmashtami dresses and other things. So bhavishyati param shreyo dhatuste natra samsayaha. Na atra samsayaha, there is absolutely no doubt in my words. I am promising you, my dear washerman, you will get the ultimate auspiciousness. Please give me this cloth. So don't say that I am taking these things for free. I am demanding these things from you for free. No, I will give you, I will bestow you ultimate auspiciousness. Krishna is giving that blessing. So washerman was very harsh, but Krishna was quite gentle. His proposal was gentle. He requested, he did not demand clothes. He requested and he offered a payment also. The payment is param shreya, ultimate auspiciousness. So how can devotees tolerate it? Krishna is so gently asking you, and the person who is being asked is becoming so harsh upon Krishna, and devotees cannot tolerate this. That's why Sukadeva Goswami starts criticizing this washerman. Okay? So undoubtedly you will receive the greatest gift. So because of the innate wicked nature of this washerman, so he could not make sense of Krishna's statements. He could not give any importance to Krishna's statements. So, according to Acharyas, you will get ultimate benefit, greatest benefit in this life and in the next life also, and even at the time of death also. So that kind of benefit that Krishna is offering. Now you see, 34th verse. Sayachito bhagavata
Pariputrena
sarvataham Sakshepam rushitaha praham Bhrityoragnaha sudurmadaham.
Thus requested by the Supreme Lord, who is perfectly complete in all respects, that arrogant servant of the king became angry and replied insultingly.
Sa yachito bhagavan. Sukadeva Goswami is describing. Yachana means begging, requesting, appealing, very politely, not demanding. Dedu, yataika, dedu. Not that way. Can you please give me? That way. Sa yachito bhagavata. Who is doing this yachan? Bhagavan is doing yachan. Krishna, even if he demands also, there is nothing wrong on his part. But although he is Bhagavan, he is doing yachan. So whenever we need some favor from someone, we need to learn from this quality of Krishna that you have to do yachan. You can't demand. You can't command. Nobody will accept your dadagiri or bossgiri in this world. Everybody has their ego. Right? If the washerman can have that much ego, how do you expect some your equal to have and don't have that much ego? So you can't demand. So sayachito bhagavata paripurnena sarvataha. And who is doing yachan? One is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means endowed with all six opulences in full. Second, paripurnena sarvataha. He is complete in everything, in every respect. He is asking Vasamsi clothes, not because he doesn't have clothes. He has so many clothes. Much, much better than what this washerman has. But still, he is asking. Although he is paripurna in all ways and he is Bhagavan, still he is doing yachan. So Krishna asked him to see his reaction. Now washerman, how is he described? Sakshepam, sa-akshepam. So akshepa means insult. Sakshepam rushitaha. Rushita means anger. Praha, he started speaking. Bhrityo ragnaha sudurmadaha. So first his speech is insulting and it's filled with anger. And sudurmadaha. Durmada means falsely proud. Mada is pride. Durmadaha means false pride. He is not being proud of some glorious connection with someone. He is being proud falsely of his connection with Kamsa. That's why it is mentioned. Bhrityo Ragnaha. There are so many washermen in entire Mathura city, but I am the only washerman who is the dhobi, who washes the clothes of king. So king's washerman, minister's washerman, or it's a normal citizen's washerman. So they have also, amongst the washerman community also, there are gradations. Who is a better washerman? Kapda to dhona hi hai. But kiska dho rahe? Uska mahatva. Right, he is very proud that I am the washerman of the king. So one's connection with great people will not make you great. Definitely it will make you great, but that does not make that should not make you proud of that connection. So we are connected with, say, great parampara, great guru, or great organization, great temple, or great, book. All these things should induce within us a sense of responsibility rather than pride. I should not behave in such a way that my connection with this great personality or great organization becomes a black spot on them. I should behave in such a way that I increase their glory, or at least keep their glory, not minimize their glory. So because of one's connection with some great personalities, president or minister or king or guru or whoever, one will start behaving whimsically. That's one of the reasons why Krishna enacted Moshala Leela. Why he enacted Moshala Leela? Some of the Yadus are becoming very whimsical because of their connection with Krishna. So this Even an ordinary washerman also can become proud of his connection with a great personality. So that is the nature of pride in this material world. So this kind of anarthas will not leave even such such low profile people also. What to speak of someone who is in great profile, high profile. So this arrogant servant of the king, actually this washerman has heard about Krishna's character and Krishna's glories earlier. But still, he is not transformed because of that. Because he is not like the other ordinary, other simple citizens who get impressed by glory of Krishna, but because of his close connection with Kamsa, he tried to minimize the position of another person. Oh, you may be glorious. Do you think, who am I? I am also glorious. Sometimes, although we hear about someone else's glories, we lack the honesty to acknowledge his glories, or when he actually comes in front of us, we think that we find out ways and means to minimize his glory. Oh, he's so glorious, he's so popular, he's thinking he's great. He may not be thinking, but you think that he is thinking that he's great, and you make a self-appointed purifier to subdue his pride, and in that way you only display your pride and then you only ruin yourself. So this washerman was hearing the glory of Krishna, but he's not impressed with that glory. He wanted to subdue that glory. He wanted to ridicule him. He wanted to minimize the glory of Krishna, although he has heard about it. Why? Because of his simple connection with the king through cloth. His connection through the king is the cloth. So any silly and insignificant thing also can make you proud. I am connected with so-and-so great personality. Through what medium? Are you the personal secretary? Are you this? I met him once and spoke with him for 2 minutes. People quote that. Do you know? I met the Prime Minister. And did what? He smiled at me. But nothing else. So that also is a very notable thing, and that can make someone proud. Right? So one should be very careful when they are receiving favors from great people. Definitely one can feel a sense of encouragement, and one can feel a sense of fortune when we get some favors or some blessings of great people. But one should be extremely careful not to convert that small favor into pride. Right? Definitely I received the grace of this great personality, I received his blessings, I received his appreciation. You can take that as an encouragement, you can take that as a blessing, you can have very fond memories of that small interaction, although it is for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but that should not make you proud. That should not make you ridicule other people who may not have received that opportunity. Pataika, who was spending time with me so far? That's not the point. Did you ever meet him? I met him. 5 minutes baat kiya. Did you ever meet him? So that should not be the attitude towards people who did not get that privilege. Next. This in the Garga Samhita, this chapter is described, titled as Rajaka Vayaka Sudama Upakhyana. So Harivamsa says, Prapta Vishtaya Murkhaya Vangmayam Visham. This fellow spoke poison to attain the destination desired by the foolish. What he was speaking is very poisonous words. Very rudely he started speaking. So sa apeksham, insulting way, rushitaha, angered. And durmadaha, falsely proud. Pride, anger, and insulting way. 35th verse. Idrishanyeva vasamsi nityam girivane charaha paridhatta kimudratta vritta raja dravyanyabhipsata idrishani eva vasamsi. So he said, you indeed are desiring this great clothes, vasamsi. What are these clothes? See the fourth line. Raja dravyani abhipsata. These are raja dravya. This is the paraphernalia of the king. These are kingly clothes.
How are you asking for it?
Nityam Girivanecharaha. What is your disqualification? You are Giri Vanacharaha. Giri is mountain. You are mountain wanderers, Vanacharaha. You are forest dwellers. You are used to traveling or wandering in forests and hills. How can you expect the clothes of king who is living in great city Mathura? You are Gamwala Agya, then he is asking clothes of the Prime Minister, great celebrity. That is his point. As if he is wearing those clothes. Right? One may not be receiving certain privilege, just even if he has some small smell or fragrance or touch of that privilege, he thinks as if he is the enjoyer of it. And then he ridicules those people who do not have that privilege. So, paridhatta kim udvritta. So, udvritta means utkrushta vritta, excellent character. So, yet you would dare to put on such clothes, these are king's possessions. So, udvritta literally means you are impudent. Because of your impudence, you are desiring king's paraphernalia. But udvritta can be given a positive meaning. Utkrushta plus vritta. Udvritta means. Vritta means one's vritti, occupation or character or activities. Utkrushta vritta means very great activities. So, from his perspective, udvritta means you are impudent. From Acharya's or Saraswati's perspective, udvritta means utkrushta vritta, having excellent character and activities. So, if you wear such cloth, it is a joke. Now, some very Kali wore kingly clothes. It was a joke only. Although he was like a Sudra, having such abominable character of troubling even cows and bulls, he is wearing the dress of a king. So similarly, someone who is not qualified, a labor person, wears the clothes of a king, celebrity, he will make fun of it. So like that he is saying. Like that this washerman is saying, you are forest dwellers, you are mountain wanderers. If you wear the clothes of a king, you will make a joke out of it. It will be funny. You don't deserve to wear these clothes. But from absolute perspective, what he says is correct. Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead, the king of all universes, entire cosmic manifestation, king of both this Ekapada and Tripada, Vibhutis, king of both spiritual worlds and material worlds. So for him to wear the dress of the clothes of an ordinary king in one planet and in one country, is actually below his dignity. It's only a joke. So words are same, but the interpretation and the motive is different. So Chakvartipada and Jiva Goswami, they give the positive meanings for all this. So your impudent indicates that without fear of the king you are asking for these clothes? Yes, that is true. Krishna is not fearful of the king. He can ask his clothes, he can ask his throne also. He can ask anything from him. He can take anything from him that way. So Krishna is the supreme being. So did your fathers and grandfathers ever wear this kind of clothes? Why are you asking? Did you have a background of wearing such opulent clothes? You are like gouty, gamwala people. So how can you expect this kind of privileges? He is ridiculing them, as if he had all those privileges. Next verse, 36.
Yata subali balisha maivam prarthyam yadijiji visha bandha badhananti ghananti lumpanti draptum rajakulani vai.
Fools, get out of here quickly. Don't beg like this if you want to stay alive. When someone is too bold, the king's men arrest him and kill him and take all his property.
So all these negative words of this Rajaka are given positive interpretations, because acharyas are so great that they can only see glorification of Krishna in every word of Bhagavatam. They cannot tolerate when someone is giving some negative description of Krishna, like Shishupala or Hiranyaksha, or here this Rajaka, Rangakara, washerman. So they are so Krishna conscious that they can see the glorification of Krishna only in every single word. If there is glorification of Krishna and if demoniac people misinterpret it and then make it a blasphemy of Krishna, why can't acharyas make these blasphemous words of Krishna into glorification? So that is different and this is different. So he says that yatasu balisha maivam. Balisha means you are fools. Foolish people, you are asking the paraphernalia of the king. Ghananti, if you ask me like this, first time you are asking me, I can forgive you now. I am so magnanimous, I am so kind to you, I am forgiving you now. But if you ask again, if at all you desire to live jijivisha, then you should not ask again. If you ask, what will happen? Badhananti, the soldiers of the king will tie you up. Badhananti. Ghananti, they will kill you also. Lumpanti, they will loot whatever you have also. Driptam rajakulani vai. The king's men will come and do these three things for you. Badhananti, ghananti, and lumpanti. They will loot you, they will kill you, they will bind you. The other order. So he spoke to Krishna and Balaram and other gopas like this. So this washerman spoke very rashly and loudly. Someone may speak very harsh words, but in a low tone. Because he is angry, he wants to express his anger, but he does not want to embarrass the other person so much that he will maintain a low voice. You can see that in some mature people. There is a reason for them to exhibit anger. There is a mistake, honest mistake done by this person, and then he needs correction, and they will chastise that person, but in a low voice, not in front of everyone. You see, did you ever receive any chastisement like that in a low voice from some senior? I received many times. And high voice also I received. So, a gentleman can modulate his voice and volume according to the need of the circumstances. But someone who is beyond, who cannot control himself, so he cannot speak properly according to the situation and the circumstances. So now this is on the road, not within a room. Whole public is watching. And these children just ask, can you give us some clothes? If you give clothes, you will get great benefit. I promise you like this. Like that Krishna in a very childish way, yachanti, he just did yachan, begged him. But he started speaking very loudly. When you are so loud and angry, with very small, silly reason, and you are speaking things that are not needed, if he had said, these are king's clothes, please don't ask them. Request like this, I cannot give you. Or simple, bluntly, if he says, I cannot give you, and then moves forward also, that's all right, to some extent. But he says, you are all giri vanai charaha, you are fools, you are balisha, and he says, badhanti, ghananti, lumpanti, the soldiers will come and kill you, loot you, bind you. These are all extra words, right? This is not needed. And he's speaking all this very loudly. So when one becomes unnecessarily angry, speaks more than what is needed in that situation, and gives more blasphemous words than the person deserves, and unnecessarily points out the faults of a person, although it is not necessary for the situation, he is only exhibiting his false pride and stupidity and unnecessary anger and trying to ruin himself. That's what he's doing now. So he spoke very rashly, very loudly, and he started praising himself. You know, who am I? I am the king's washerman. So I am the personal servant of the king. He started advertising himself as if he is the king. So sometimes because of one's connection with a great personality, one will think that I am that great personality. Sometimes the prime minister may depute his assistant to go and then do the needful at some place. Now this fellow needs the same treatment as the prime minister. Because the prime minister has given that power of attorney or power of authority to sanction or just evaluate the circumstances and then sanction or just disapprove whatever is their proposal. So all the people also will become very respectful in their dealings with him. But if he comes along with the prime minister, nobody will look at him. Right? So that kind of connection with great personalities can induce such arrogant feelings. Now, at this point, Krishna became angry. Now, there is sufficient background and reason for you to understand that why Krishna became angry and killed him. See.
Evam vikatha manasya kupito devaki sutaha rajakasya karagrena shirahakayat apatayat. Evam vikatha manasya.
After being after receiving such harsh speech from this fellow, kupito devaki sutaha, this devaki suta, this son of devaki, became very angry. So Krishna became angry because washerman sided Kamsa and insulted Balaram using plural number. All these blasphemous words are not just directed towards Krishna alone. You people, means Balaram is also included. And maybe all the gopas are also included. Krishna can tolerate blasphemy upon himself. Why should he tolerate blasphemy upon his own associates and devotees? So Krishna became very angry. Krishna is addressed as Devaki Suta here. He is pained by the suffering that Kamsa inflicted upon Devaki. How could Krishna tolerate the audacity of Kamsa's follower? Krishna came to Mathura to kill Kamsa, and one of the representatives of Kamsa is behaving harshly with Krishna. He is insulting. Because of his connection with Krishna, he is a Kamsa's follower, faithful, devout, loyal follower of Kamsa. He is ridiculing Krishna, ridiculing Balaram, ridiculing the Gopas. So then Krishna could not tolerate. I came to kill Kamsa, and whoever is supporting Kamsa, I should kill him also. So Krishna just immediately just killed him. Devaki Sutaha means his connection with Devaki is being highlighted here. And Devaki was tortured by Kamsa. And Kamsa's follower is doing this insult to Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna could not tolerate. So Rajakasya Karagrena, Kara Agrena means by the tip of his hand, the front of his hand, one hand. Kara, like this. He did not use this also, nothing. Kara Agrena, the tip of his hands. He did like this. Then what did he? What happened? Shiraha kayat apayayat. The shira was separated from the kaya and then fell down. Just karagrena like this. Krishna did not exert so much of force also. So Narasimha Dev has to use his nails and then pierce the heart and abdomen of Hiranyaksha and then Hiranyakashipu and then kill him. But at the same, after a long fight, ultimately what killed Hiranyakashipu? The nails of Narasimhadev. Just with nails, toenails, Kara Kamala, lotus hand has some nails. If the hand is the lotus, nails are also very delicate and soft and maybe, but these are like thunderbolts. So ultimately Krishna, Narasimhadev killed him with his nails only. He did not use such great weapons or Sudarshan Chakra. Varahadev fought with Hiranyaksha so much. Just one slap, he fell down. See how Krishna kills. Krishna with his fingertips he killed. Krishna with his lips of baby lips, Putana. So he killed Putana. And with his pravala, mrudu pravala, soft leaf like, tender leaf like lotus foot, 3 months old baby, he killed Shakatasura. With his soft hands, just he was touching like this, and then Trinavarta was suffocated and then he died. So Krishna did not exert so much pressure to kill some demon. It's such a small thing for him. So Lord Ram, he just picked up one blade of grass. That Kakasura is coming, right? Indra's son. He is coming and then poking Mother Sita. Ram just picked up one grass and then threw it on him. That became Brahmastra and then just chased that fellow, Kakasura. So this is how Krishna can kill people. So this washerman had a background. He criticized Mother Sita in Ayodhya. He said that Lord Ram can maintain a wife who lived at someone else's house for 1 year. I cannot maintain you. You came from somewhere else. I cannot accept you get lost. Like that he was dealing with his wife. So because of that offense, the Lord Ram is Maryada Purushottam. So this washerman is speaking, he is my citizen. I have to value his opinion. So Lord Ram is so magnanimous that he abandoned his own wife, giving value to washerman's words. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna cannot be like that. Krishna is little cunning also. So Lord Ram is like dharma, maryada, like that. Krishna means, he can, Yudhishthir, you lie. You can say that Ashwatthama died. Then we will kill Drona. Yudhishthir, I cannot speak lie. Theek hai, we'll kill one elephant. Then you can say, elephant Ashwatthama died. Elephant you speak inside and Ashwatthama you speak outside. Then that's how they kill Drona. So Krishna is like very smart. Right, he does the needful. He will do the needful. He will not stick to the policies. He will not stick to so much to the protocols and policies. He can manipulate the policies also according to the time, place, circumstances. So Ram gave more value to the words of washerman and abandoned his own wife. But Krishna did not do that. You are not giving me clothes, I will kill you. Yes. This is Krishna after all. With his fingertips he killed. And his head was separated from the body, it flew at a distance, flew a long distance, like this, and then it just flew away. So, in Treta Yuga, he did an offense. At the end of Dwapara Yuga, when things are close to Kali Yuga, he got the reaction. Reaction or liberation. So, he was liberated by Krishna. So someone who is killed in the hands of Krishna will definitely get liberation. So Krishna is kind now or harsh? Now we can understand. So Krishna, because the offensive mentality of this fellow is not rectified, Krishna waited for so many yugas, but so many thousands of years, and now he relieved this fellow of that suffering. So the effulgence of this washerman left his body and entered Krishna. So by killing him, he liberated him. Okay. Next, 38th verse. Any questions on washerman episode? Okay. 38th. It's like the tip of the iceberg, they say, right? There's a lot of background. He is having an offensive mentality. So this is just one apparent immediate reason that manifested. Now, when you shout at a person, in the very first interaction, when he displeases you, you will not shout. You will tolerate. After some time also, he will do something and then you will... He may speak like few words very mildly. After 5-6 interactions like that, then you will just blast him like anything, even in front of so many people. So is that one incident the reason? No. The negative impressions of the so many previous interactions are just piled up in your mind and then they were just released one time like that. So this one interaction is like one thing. Definitely this is a very significant reason for him to die in the hands of Krishna. But earlier also he had that background. Just now I mentioned, right? In Ayodhya he said, he criticized Mother Sita. Ram is very greedy to enjoy his wife. He is maintaining Sita, although she stayed in someone else's house for 1 year. So at that time he did not get punishment. Sita got punishment. Punishment, you cannot call punishment, that's vipralamba rasa, a different thing. But apparently Sita was exiled. But washerman was not punished. Now he is punished. Next, 38th verse.
Tasyanu jivinah sarve vasah koshan visrujyavai dudruvuhu sarvato margam Vasam Sijagrihechutaham.
The washerman's assistants all dropped their bundles of clothes and fled down the road, scattering in all directions. Lord Krishna then took the clothes.
So the washerman's assistants just dropped their bundles and then went away. So as long as your leader is powerful and then he can face the opponents, followers will follow you. If the leader is defeated, followers will fly away. So somebody was faithfully, some followers were faithfully following a person, a gunda. And then the gunda went very with great confidence and then faced opponent, hero. And he was speaking harsh words and then hero just slapped him. And gunda did like this. Follower just ran away. So that will happen. So all the washerman's assistants ran away. And on the other hand, in Dhenukasura's episode, although Dhenukasura died, other people were so foolish that they came and then charged against Krishna and Balaram. And all of them also died. So in one sense, these washerman's followers are very intelligent. They protected themselves and they ran away. Okay, so Vasamsi Jagrihe, so Krishna accepted all these clothes and then he distributed amongst his friends. So Krishna will lovingly ask you to serve and surrender and offer your possessions unto him. But if we are rebellious, Krishna may come in the form of Kala, death, and at that time anyways he will take away all your possessions. Same thing. Murtyuho sarvaharaschaham. This washerman episode is just depicting that verse, that line. Murtyuho sarvaharaschaham. Krishna is very politely saying, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachyati sarva dharman parityadya mam ekam sharanam vraja. And what else? Manmana bhava madbhokto madhyajimam namaskru. Very politely Krishna is requesting that you please offer whatever you have. Yat karvoshi, yat ashnasi, yat jihoshi, dadashi, yat. Please give these things to me. I will take care of you. But we don't hear that. Then what will Krishna do? Murtyuho sarvaharaschaham. Anyways, I will take whatever you have after causing your death. Better you offer whatever you have when you are living and then after your death you come to me. But we don't agree to that proposal. Then Krishna will kill us and then we'll go to different destination and whatever we have, Krishna will take. It's a very, very scary concept, right? So, this is now, after killing Hiranyakashipu, who was so attached to his throne, so he was so attached to his proprietorship of all the three planets, Narasimhadeva went and sat on his throne. Hiranyakashipu, he killed him and then he took his throne. And then he offered it to Prahlad. Then Vamandev, he just subdued Bali to Satala planet and then he took everything that he has. Then Krishna made Yudhishthira Maharaj sit on Duryodhana's throne. And then he took away all the thing of Duryodhana and then gave it to his devotee. Like that. So he took away everything from Ravana, gave it to Vibhishan. So Krishna, any demoniac person who is not surrendering what he has to Krishna will have to meet his death and will have to finally offer his possessions to Krishna only with force. Better you do it voluntarily. That is the message. Hiranyakashipu was not worshipping Krishna. Ravana was not worshipping Krishna. And Duryodhana was not worshipping Krishna and then offering things to Krishna. And Vasharman was not offering things to Krishna. Right? So like that, Narakasura was not offering things to Krishna. So Krishna killed all these people, took their property and gave to relevant people or he himself took it. When Narakasura came to fight with Krishna, Krishna killed him and then gave his property to his grandson. Krishna killed Kamsa and gave his property to his father Ugrasen. Like that. Either Krishna or Krishna's devotees only are the right enjoyers of any property. Krishna's devotees will take possession of the property by Krishna's approval or Krishna himself will take that property. No demoniac person can claim proprietorship over any possession. Krishna will kill him and then make you again bhikari. So the washerman's assistants, there is hierarchy everywhere. Washerman has thousands of donkeys, braying donkeys, and washerman has thousands of assistants, and he is selling also and he is dyeing also, he is washing also clothes. very big organization he is carrying. And his wives cried. Looks like he has multiple wives also. His wives came and then cried and they went to Kamsa's house. So Nanda Maharaj very politely told Krishna, don't do any mischief, just see the city and then come back. So now Krishna is beginning his mischief. He killed one fellow now. So after some time he came to see Dhanuryaga, he will go and then break that bow. What Dhanuryaga will happen now? So Krishna can do anything very boldly. On the other hand, this Ramchandra was waiting for permission of Vishwamitra. So no one is unable to, no one is able to lift the bow of Shiva and then break it or just even string it. So now Ram, although he is capable of it, he is just doing like this. Vishwamitra had to tell him, you can go and do. Oh, can I go? Yeah, you can go. Then he went and then broke it. So Ram waits for permission, Krishna never waits. So these are the flavors in which Krishna behaves. 39th verse.
Vasitvatma priye vastre Krishna sankarshanastatha Shri Seshanyadhatta gopebhyo Vishrujya bhuvikannichat.
Krishna and Balram put on pairs of garments that especially pleased them. And then Krishna distributed the remaining clothes among the cowherd boys, leaving some scattered on the ground.
So Krishna just took possession of all his clothes. Whatever he liked, he wore. And whatever suit Balram, he gave him also. And he also gave his cowherd boys. So this Krishna and his devotees just took all the possessions. They were enjoying. And whatever he didn't like, he just threw it on the ground. So what suits Krishna? What color suits Krishna? Yellow. He took yellow dhoti. What suits Balramji? He took blue. Balramji took blue. So suitable colors means they took like that. Krishna is wearing yellow today, right? Rather any blue. Next. So that is the episode of this washerman.
Tatastu vayakaha prita tayorvesham akalpayat vichitra varnaihi cheleyair akalpair anurupataha.
Thereupon, weaver came forward and feeling affection for the lords, nicely adorned their attire with cloth ornaments of various colors.
So this is the episode of a weaver, just three verses. So having punished the wicked, now Krishna wants to give joy to the righteous people, devotees. So he is showing this mercy to the righteous weaver. Vayakaha means a weaver. He was using bamboo. So anurupataha, color, the colors are suitably matching. So these people are, Krishna and Balram, they are wearing dresses of nice colors, suitable colors. So after you offer dresses, what you have to offer? Ornaments. So Krishna, what's happening in Mathura is Krishna is being dressing her. So what, when Krishna enters Mathura, dressing is happening. So first clothes he took. Clothes this fellow is not offering, Krishna himself took clothes. He dressed himself. Now he is offering cloth ornaments. Why cloth ornaments? Any guesses? You can put gold ornaments also and still it will match. Gold, silver, diamonds, ratna, still they will match. Why cloth ornaments are specially mentioned? Simplicity. He is not in Vrindavan, he came to Mathura. That's fine. Mercy will come through other ornaments also, not only cloth ornaments. Any other guesses? Exactly. You saw some Acharya commentary? Without seeing, you can't guess this. Acharya has explained that Krishna is going to do wrestling. If you wear some golden armlet here and then golden bracelet here, when you are punching, they may hurt you. If there is cloth, Then they will press you and then you will get nice cushion. So that way. He is just preparing for his wrestling match. So after dressing in Vrindavan, Krishna will go out to play flute and then do many other things. But here, after dressing, he will go and then fight, do wrestling. Of course, in Vrindavan also he wrestles with gopas, but that's in a very loving mode. Next. 41st verse.
Nana lakshana veshabhyam Krishna Rama virejatuhu Svalankritau balage gajau Parvaniva siteritau.
Krishna and Balram looked resplendent, each in his own unique, wonderfully ornamented outfit. They resembled a pair of young elephants, one white and the other black, decorated for a festive occasion.
Okay. Nana lakshana veshabhyam. So their vesha, their attire, their clothing, dressing, he is having such great qualities, fine qualities. Nana lakshana veshabhyam Krishna Ramo virejito. Virejito means they are resplendent. They are looking so sparkling in that clothes and ornaments. Svalankrito balagajo, they are like baby elephants. Pravrinita siterato. So it's like they're having sita means white, sita itaro, that is black. What is opposite of white? That is black. So black and white. So they have, one boy is having dark complexion, he wears light color cloth. Other boy is having light complexion, fair complexion, he wears dark color cloth. That way. So this weaver is very fortunate that he offered such wonderful ornaments to Krishna and Balaram. So his background. He was actually a weaver in Mithila. Mithila is the kingdom of Janaka Maharaj. When Ram and Lakshman came to Mithila, and then Ram broke this bow in that Sita Swayamvar, Shivadhanu. So this weaver got the service of stitching clothes for their marriage. After that, Sita Kalyanam will happen. So weaver was in Mithila, and then he made such fine garments for Ram and Lakshman for their wedding. And he was very enchanted to see Lord Ram and Lakshman so handsome in those beautiful ornaments. They were looking like more attractive than millions of cupids. So he wanted to make these ornaments and garments and place directly on the bodies of Ram and Lakshman with his own hands. He had some desire like that. Now, many devotees work so hard. Now on Pushyabhishek especially, even everybody is engaged in making cloth ornaments. For example, our Praveen Prabhu was making so many flower ornaments for Radharani on last year Pushyabhishek. You were also there, right? You were there. Sridhar Prabhu was there, I remember. Who else was there here? Rakshan Krishna Prabhu, big Kalakar. So you are making. If you have a desire, let me offer it with my own hands. In future, if you develop that desire, Krishna will fulfill that desire. Krishna is so... When? We don't know. Because he desired like that during Rama avatar, and he got the opportunity in Krishna avatar. He desired like that in Treta Yuga, he got opportunity towards the end of Dwapara Yuga. But Krishna will note down the desires. So this devotee wanted to dress me in these ornaments. Offer me these ornaments personally with his own hand. Krishna will fulfill that desires. So this devotee got that opportunity now. When Krishna came to the weaver, so he was given the opportunity to directly put those ornaments. So we cannot take any service for granted. Any opportunity that we receive to offer some service, whether it is cooking for the Lord or dressing the Lord or it could be washing the pots of the Lord, or whatever it may be, we cannot take opportunities for granted. They are all very privileged. So this weaver had to wait for one yuga to get that opportunity. How can you deny that opportunity when you get it? Kali Yuga people cannot even realize the fortune of that opportunity also. Every service that we get to do in the process of devotional service in Prabhupada's movement is the rarest privilege on the planet. We need to value it and accept it and execute it with happiness.
So Lord Ram, within his heart, blessed him that your heart, your desire will be fulfilled.
And this weaver did not express that desire also. He was so simple and humble that he desired like that and he did not express it. But that unexpressed desire within his heart is noted down within the heart of Lord Ram. And when he came as Krishna, he gave that opportunity to him.
So this is the story of weaver.
So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, pleased Krishna immediately endowed the weaver with alert senses, memory, power, strength and a spiritual body of a cowherd. He immediately got a cowherd boy form. And this weaver did not come to Vraja for the fear of Kamsa. Now he has been hearing. Vyashraman was hearing about Krishna, but he was having inimical feelings towards Krishna. Weaver was hearing about Krishna, but out of his modesty or fear of Kamsa, he could not go to Vrindavan and then see Krishna. So he could not see. So Krishna came directly to see him. Oh, you are desiring, looks like this washerman, this weaver is having some, is too modest and too humble. Although he has desires, he cannot boldly express them or then execute them. So Krishna had to take that, task of fulfilling his desires. So weaver did not come to Vraja out of fear of Kamsa, but he had heard of the great happiness of Vraja from his companions who had gone there and returned. Thus he was anxious to see Krishna. Some devotees have desires to serve Krishna in certain way, but they don't express. Some devotees express, please give me this service, I want to do this service. Some people desire like that, but they don't, out of their simplicity, they don't express also. But one day or the other, Krishna will give them that opportunity. So it's all personalism. Krishna is a person. He will note down your desires, he will fulfill them. Nothing is impersonal. Whatever is happening is not happening randomly. You may say, isko kaise mil gaya seva? You may be wondering at that incident where one person got this kind of opportunity to render some kind of seva. But understand, Krishna gave him that seva. Through you, Krishna will sometimes give that person that seva through you. Although you never desire to give him that seva. Right? So it's Krishna's plans are very wonderful. Without Krishna's sanction, will something happen or what? All managers have to note it down. You may think you are managing the show. You can control people. You can put these people in this seva. You can remove people from that seva. You may think in that way. But Krishna is managing the show through you. Sometimes you will have to manage in certain ways which you also don't like, because Krishna desired it and the devotee desired it. Devotee deserves it and Krishna sanctioned it. Who are you in the middle? Your management will not do anything. Right? So that's how we need to understand. Krishna's energies are everywhere. So pleased. That's why we need to flow. Manager means he has to allow Krishna's energies to flow. Sometimes you desire that this devotee should get this service. You plan. You request him. But somehow at the last moment that will go out and someone else will replace him. He has full experience. So all this will happen. So then something astonishing happened, which no one had seen before. Krishna gave him a similar form of his own. When Krishna glanced at him, Krishna's beauty entered his body. He took a form like Krishna's and the form of Krishna did not leave him. Like that. Just like a bug sometimes gets absorbed in a wasp and he will get the form of the wasp. If you get absorbed in Krishna, how can you not get a form similar to Krishna? Similar to Krishna means not Sarupya Mukti or something like that. It could be Gopa form. Right? Not exactly Barha, Pidam, Natavaravapu, No Midyati, Brahubhishi. Krishna is irreplaceable. He cannot become Krishna. Krishna is Krishna only. But some similar attire as a cowherd boy. So, Tasya Prasanno Bhagavan. This we didn't recite, right? Tasya Prasanno Bhagavan.
ప్రాదాత్సారూప్యమాత్మనః శ్రియం చ పరమం లోకే బలైశ్వర్య స్మృతీంద్రియం.
Pleased with the weaver, the Supreme Lord Krishna blessed him that after death he would achieve the liberation of attaining a form like the Lord's, and that while in this world he would enjoy supreme opulence, physical strength, influence, memory and sensory vigor.
So because of Lord Ram's blessing, this weaver took birth in Mathura and made garments for Krishna and Balram. And because of Krishna's blessing, he got the opportunity to directly dress Krishna in these beautiful ornaments. So this is Gopa form he got. That is considered Sarupya only. Sarupya means a form that is similar to Krishna as a cowherd boy, that way.
Next, 43.
Now dressing is happening, right? After you offer a dress, you offer ornaments. After that, what you will offer? Garlands. Next is garland maker, Malakara.
తతః సుదామ్నో భవనం మాలాకారస్య జగ్మతుః తౌ దృష్ట్వా ససముత్థాయ ననామ శిరసా భువి.
The two lords then went to the house of the garland maker Sudama. When Sudama saw them, he at once stood up and then bowed down, placing his head on the ground.
So there is another devotee named Sudama,
who is maker of garlands.
So when Sudama saw them, he at once stood up and then bowed down, placing his head on the ground. So a garland maker is called Malakara. So tam tau drishtva sa samuthaya nanama sirasa bhuvi.
He kept his head directly on the ground and offered obeisances. He is a garland maker. So after giving mercy to the weaver, Krishna and Balaram wanted to give mercy to the garland maker. So this garland maker had the background of going to Vrindavan sometimes. He would hear about the activities of Krishna and Balaram, and he would sometimes go to Vrindavan also to collect some rare flowers that grow only in Vrindavan. And on seeing Krishna, he would become attracted. Sometimes he would go to collect flowers and then from a distance he will see, oh, Krishna is there. He had the experience of seeing Krishna also. So he offered flowers, and he had hand-picked flowers, very selected flowers he would just take and then make garlands with such nice arrangements of the flowers, petals, like that. So not only that, his name was Sudama, he was like Krishna's friend only. Krishna had another friend called Sudama. His Sudama is garland maker Sudama. So he also has the nature like Krishna's friend only, the abode of happiness. So Krishna is beautiful like a cloud, and he accepted the friendship of this Sudama also. So suddenly, thinking along with his friends that Sudama must be living at some place, because Sudama never endeavored to come out of his house and then see Krishna and Balaram. When Krishna and Balaram were walking on the streets of Mathura, many citizens would come out and then see Krishna and Balaram. Thus, many met them. But here Sudama was so absorbed in garland making, he didn't get time to come out only. Because he did not come out of his house, he was making only garlands. Krishna was searching, where is that Sudama, which street he is living, which house he is living, what is the door number? He was searching everywhere, and then he is coming to Sudama and then suddenly manifested in front of him. Sudama was absorbed in making garland, and for Krishna only. Then he just lifted up, and then Krishna is standing directly in front of him. So then Sudama became so happy. So he did not approach the Lord earlier like others, because he was absorbed in making garland. So as the garland maker's assistants had also gone out to see the Lord, the garland maker's eyes were fixed upon the garland only. He was having no one around him also. When someone is not doing some, just not coming out and participating in some excitement, so you cannot judge him always. He may be absorbed in some seva, making some preparation for him. Hey, Maharaj is coming, you are not there in the reception, what are you doing? He may be doing some preparation there. I have seen some devotees like that. So one devotee, it was in VTA days, 2008 or 2009. So Radhanand Maharaj was coming from US trip. So I went outside, and then many devotees went outside, big kirtan and all. So one devotee I'm seeing, and Maharaj came inside, and then he sat in his house, and everyone dispersed, and then I came out, and then he is just coming like this, and then stepping down from that. Ignis Telika, there are steps, right? You go to old Sevastan, from there he's just coming down. A senior person. I saw him, and then he didn't come to receive. And he looks like he just woke up from sleep only. Then I was thinking, okay, fine. I didn't think about it so much, but there was a slight surprise in the mind that why is he sleeping when Maharaj is coming? Later I came to know that he is coming from Sevasthan. He had fever, high fever. In spite of having fever, he was coming down to see Maharaj. So sometimes you may not be seeing someone doing what everyone else is doing, but you don't know what are the reasons. We can't judge him. Enter Mathura was excited to receive Krishna and Balaram, and Sudama was making garland. You are making garland for Krishna, and the person is standing there, and then you are not coming only. Why are you making garland? You are so absorbed. So someone may question him like that. No, he is making for Krishna, and because he is making that garland with such sincerity and with such dedication to Krishna's service, Krishna personally came searching for him to accept that service. So it's not always about the external activity that you do. It is more about one's mood and motivation within, which is not always visible to the outside world. So one needs to give a benefit of doubt and not unnecessarily judge people when they are not doing things which are like expected of general people. So the most fortunate Sudama used to meditate on Krishna as his only object of thought. He was attractive with shyness and humility. The attractiveness of a devotee is also in his shyness and humility. Somebody will come out very dynamic and daring and dashing, and then he would just come and then take the mic and then sing nicely or speak nicely and then make announcement nicely, crack some jokes, and then attract attention. He's definitely attractive. But more attraction is humility, simplicity, shyness, submissiveness, surrender. So these are not visible. So one needs to give more value to that. Some are very simple devotees, some are more dynamic, action-oriented devotees. So we need to value devotees as per what they are. What one devotee can do, what other person may not be able to do. Sometimes more preference or more respect is given to devotees who are in limelight or who are popular speakers, popular singers, like that. Who they attract public attention more, and people in general would tend to give them more respect. But that does not make someone who is not in that limelight less important or less advanced. You don't find Sridhar Kulavecha doing such great tasks, great accomplishments. He's not like so popular like Sarvam Bhattacharya, who is a learned scholar, Ramanand Rai, who is absorbed in such great rasa, or Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, who built so many temples and wrote so many books. He's not like that. But you can see His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj, when he is describing about Sridhar Kulavecha, he just goes for like minutes and half an hour, 1 hour, he just speak on that only. That he would just zoom into the simple and humble qualities of that Sudama, that Sridhar Kulavecha. In Mayapur Yatra 2007 and 2009, so Maharaj was describing how Sridhar Kulavecha brought that pumpkin just before Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. And Sachi Mata made pumpkin sweet rice out of it. So Sridhar Kulavecha's devotion, Maharaj was just explaining, we were making transcription, going on pages and pages. We were expecting, it's a small episode, he will go to the next episode. No, the episode is going. So notes is very long, like that. So that simple devotees can attract the heart of Krishna sometimes more than the dynamic people also. So one needs to give import. That doesn't mean people who are performing so many important tasks are less important. We need to give importance to everyone, not only people who are doing things which are more attention attracting. Right? See our Rajahamsa Prabhu, so simple. I would say his presence in ashram is most important. We need such simple people. Next, 44th verse.
Tayorasanamaniya padyam charghyarhanadibhi pujam sanugayos chakre sraktambulanulepanaihi.
After offering them seeds and bathing their feet, Sudama worshipped them and their companions with argya, garlands, paan, sandalwood paste and other presentations.
Okay. He offered him argya, asanam, idam asanam, then padyam, argyam, then what else? Adibhi and so on. Pujam sa anugayoh chakre srak tambula anulepanaihi, sandalwood paste and tambula. So these are all regular household, this worship paraphernalia. Padyam, Arghyam, Asanam, Achamaniyam, all that he offered. So dressing is happening and the worship is also happening.
Prahanaha sarthakam janma pavitam chakulam prabho pitrudevarshayo mahiyam tushtahyagamane navam.
Sudama said, O Lord, my birth is now sanctified and my family free of contamination. Now that you both have come here, my forefathers, the demigods and the great sages are certainly all satisfied with me.
Prahanaha sarthakam janma. My janma has become sarthaka. Means the birth has become successful. Pavitam cha kulam prabho. My dynasty has become very purified because of your presence. Pitru devarshayo mahyam tushtahi agamanayatam vam. So, a householder generally offers oblations to Pitru, Deva and Rishaya. Munis, sages, demigods and forefathers. So, he needs to satisfy them. But because Krishna entered his house and then he is able to worship Krishna, all the forefathers, demigods, all these people are automatically satisfied. They worship Hotatranam, Pitrunam, Nagankaro, Nayam, Ranicharajan, Sarvatmanayah, Sharanam, Sharanyam, Gato Mukundam, Parihurtakattam. So when Krishna is satisfied, when you are able to worship Krishna, then whomever you are obliged to, they are automatically satisfied. When the root is watered, the tree and twigs and other leaves, all of them are already nourished. So my family has now gone to Vaikuntha. You came to this poor home. All my garlands are yours. Whatever he has is his only. Hey, what kind of offering? He's just giving garlands only. He's not giving such big offerings. Because what he has is only garlands. Somebody has only garlands in his possession and he's offering everything, whatever he has to Krishna. Somebody has only ornaments, he's offering all of that to Krishna. Somebody has treasury of crores of rupees and he will also offer everything to Krishna. So if Krishna is satisfied with someone who is offering crores, Krishna should be satisfied with someone who is offering garlands also. Because he has only garlands and he has only crores. How many crores he kept back after offering Krishna? Krishna will see that also. And how many garlands he kept back after offering Krishna? Nothing. Oh, he deserves more mercy. So bhakti is not about doing the best. Bhakti is about doing your best. What your crores can accomplish, a garland cannot accomplish definitely. But the garland is your maximum capability, and you have offered whatever you have to Krishna. Definitely those crores also are important, that can do a bigger service. But from your perspective, from Krishna's perspective, whatever you have, if you offer to Krishna, that is wonderful. Krishna would love it. That's why Krishna is pleased, Ram is pleased with squirrel's offering also and Hanumanji's offering also. You cannot minimize anyone's contribution in devotional service. Everyone can contribute according to one's own ability. So a mature person will only see, is he doing his best or not? He will not get into, his contributions are not very valuable. He will not get into analyzing people, devotees like that. He is doing his best, to the best of his ability. If someone is underperforming, if your capacity is this much and then you are performing this much only, then he may get a warning. Right, he may get a feedback. But if your capacity is this much and then you are trying to improve that also, that's wonderful. Because you don't have that much capacity. But do up to your best. That's the point.
Bhavantau kila vishvasya jagataha karanam param avatirna iham shena Shema yacha bhava yacha.
You two lords are the ultimate cause of this entire universe. To bestow sustenance and prosperity upon this realm, you have descended with your plenary expansions.
So bhavantau, bhavantau means both of you. So this is a verse that is a glorification of both Krishna and Balaram. So both of you have descended for kshema yacha and bhava yacha. These are the two principal purposes. Kshema is for the benefit or causing fearlessness to people. Bhava means for the prosperity. So, he says that but more than being the cause of, being the cause as Purushavataras, you are the supreme as Swayam Bhagavan in Mathura. So fearlessness in this life and prosperity. And in the next life, there is prosperity. Are the two principal purposes of their appearance. Okay. 47.
Nahivam vishama drishtihi suhirdo jagadatmana samayoh sarvabhuteshu bhajantam bhajatorapi.
Because you are the well-wishing friends and supreme soul of the whole universe, you regard all with unbiased vision. Therefore, although you reciprocate your devotees' loving worship, you always remain equally disposed toward all living beings.
Nahivam vishama drishtihi. You have no vishama drishti. You have unbiased vision. You don't have biased vision. That's why he is kartasya sarga dishiyona badhyate. You know this verse, right? So I will not elaborate on it. So unbiased vision means not being prejudiced by some preconceived ideas. So therefore, although your appearance, you reciprocate with your devotees' loving worship, you always remain equally disposed towards all living beings.
Jagadatmanoho, you are the soul of everyone. Jiva Goswami writes an elaborate commentary on this, so you can read.
Tavagnapayatam bhrityam kimaham karavanimam pumsotyanugrahohyesha bhavadbhiryanyujyate.
Please order me your servant to do whatever you wish. To be engaged by you in some service is certainly a great blessing for anyone.
So this is most important verse, most important principle that he is highlighting. What is that?
Tav agna payatam bhrityam.
My dear Lord, I am your bhritya, your servant. You give me agna, order.
Kimaham karavanivam. What am I supposed to do? How can I serve you? He is asking. Pumso ati anugraho hiesha bhavadbhir yan yujyate. So Pumso for people in general, Ati Anugraha, the greatest form of mercy is Bhavadbhir Yan Niyujyate, to be engaged by you in some service. To get an engagement in Krishna service is the highest engagement and highest mercy that anyone can conceive of. This verse is clear. So, to be engaged by you in some service is certainly a greatest blessing for anyone. I think in fourth batch I gave the same class. I was emphasizing this. You know our Subal Prayan Prabhu? He wrote this verse and put it in the notice board. At least for a few days it was there. The greatest blessing that anyone can receive is to be engaged in Krishna's service. I was like repeatedly emphasizing on this. He just kept it in the notice board so that he will be reminded or others will be reminded, something like that. For a few days it was there. So, Ati Anugraha, extreme mercy. To get some service in Krishna's temple, or to get some engagement in Krishna's service is the greatest blessing. Next, 49. Some service means that could be of any flavor. It could be as simple as making a garland. It could be as simple as offering a cloth ornament. It is as simple as doing some cleaning work in the temple. It could be some nice cooking. It could be anything. It could be studying Bhagavatam, speaking Bhagavatam, reading Bhagavatam, sharing. And it could be singing. It could be making a temple, constructing a temple. It could be doing PR with great people so that we can expand Krishna consciousness movement. There, some are like very big in the eyes of people, some are very small and regular routine work, maintenance work. Some are creation work. Creation generally attracts more attention. Right? Someone who is creating, people will think that he is so dynamic. Someone who is just in a maintenance mode, let's have some freshness in life, like that somebody may say. So whatever may be, it could be simple maintenance work, it could be such a low profile, simple task, or it could be like very high attention attracting task, or whatever it may be. To get some engagement in Krishna's service is the greatest blessing that a human being can conceive of. Some engagement. There are innumerable souls in this entire material creation. How many of them are human beings? Most of them are lower species only. How many are residents of earthly planet? How many are having some inclination to perform some dharmic activities, moral activities? Amongst them, how many are having some little knowledge, and amongst them, how many are actually worshipping Krishna? How many have a little understanding of Krishna? And how many get some opportunity to render some service to Krishna? We are amongst the rarest of the rarest of the rarest people in the entire cosmic manifestation. That you should be convinced of. We should be convinced that we are amongst the minority in the entire cosmos. We are so rare. Sachidu Charmandu, we are so rare. Praveen Prabhu, we are so rare. So we are all so rare. Not to feel proud about it, but to take this rare opportunity to render service. Not to take for granted whatever opportunity we get. To be engaged by you in some service is certainly a great blessing for anyone. 49. Ityabhi pretya Rajendra Sudama Pritamanasa Shastaihi Sugandhaihi Kusumair Mala Virachita Dadhau.
Sukhdev Goswami continued, "O best of kings, having spoken these words, Sudama could understand what Krishna and Balaram wanted. Thus, with great pleasure, he presented them with garlands of fresh, fragrant flowers."
So he offered them the best. Best means most fragrant and fresh flowers, not those flowers which are plucked 10 days back and then kept in freeze.
very freshly plucked flowers. And even when the flower is within the garland, bumblebees are surrounding it. That is called fresh flower. So he offered that kind of garlands filled with hummingbees. So Krishna gave them to Gopas also. So, and Sudama could understand that what Krishna and Balaram wanted, what he wanted, so that the other devotees also would get some garlands. And also, what according to their taste, right? Krishna wanted certain garland and Balaramji wanted certain garland. He can understand the mood and then offer that kind of garland. Because that's also a very personal service. Every service has the opportunity to go so deep. You may be making some garland. You may get 10 kilo gonda and then gusado, that garland ready. You don't have to worry about it, anything. Aesthetics. But if you actually worry, even if you are making simple gonda garland also, you can use your creativity. Some are big gondas, some are small gondas. Okay. Let me arrange in such a way that garland has a proper shape. So the middle can be big and then outside it can be small, and then here you will get less load, you will get broader. Or it will be the other way around. You get yellow gonda and orange gonda. Maybe you can make alternate. Or within that gonda you may just make the flower half and then do it like this and then make another kind of garland instead of just putting the thing. Or instead of putting the gonda like touching each other, the back of one gonda touching the back of another gonda, front of another gonda, instead of that you pierce only the green portions, the bases only, and then so that the gondas will come out. So there is unlimited creativity you can use within every service. Problem is we get bored with the service. Why we get bored? Because no one is giving attention to that service. That is seen a low profile service. Oh, this service is like, arey, koi nahi mila mirko, isliye mirko laga diya. They are doing much fancy services. They are doing more attention attracting services. So like that, we need to give value to the seva, whatever seva we get. 50th verse.
Tābhisvalaṅkṛtau prītau Krishna rāmau saha anugau saṣṭaṁ pranatāya prapannāya dadatur varadau varān.
Beautifully adorned with these garlands, Krishna and Balaram were delighted, and so were their companions. The two lords then offered the surrendered Sudama, who was bowing down before them, whatever benedictions he desired.
So pranataya means sashtanga pranam he offered. Prapannaya, he surrendered soul. So tabhir svalankritau prito Krishna rama sahanugo.
So beautifully adorned with garlands also. Now the dressing is complete.
Dress, ornaments and garlands. Dressing is complete and then Krishna is very happy, looking very nicely along with his brother and other gopas. And dadatur varadau varan.
So Krishna is very kind to this Sudama, that he wanted to offer him all kinds of benedictions, whatever he wanted. So some of these principles of service that we are discussing now should be discussed now only. Because when the right opportunity for rendering the service, then when the action mode comes, the discussion on these principles should be remembered. They will not be repeated. Even if they are repeated, your perception and your reception of that repetition would not be so unbiased like what you are having now. Now the ambience and the setup and the whole mood is that you are learning such great lessons for personal application from the scriptures. Like we are ready to accept these lessons. But when the seva comes, actually we have to make garlands. Say Radhashtami, we just plan to, we don't have that elaborate plan, but we may have a plan to decorate the entire temple hall like that. At that time, we may not remember this. We can engage your creativity in every garland that you make. There you have to complete the thing, manpower, and then the dealing is totally on a different plane at that time. total management mode will come, and then action mode, you may have to engage some passion also. All these are there. That's why Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita class before the battle, not during the battle. He was not getting doses of philosophy after every day. 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita in 18 days. No, pehle 18 chapters khatam karo, then you start battle. Because unless there is a proper setup and ambience, you can't absorb and you can't understand things. You cannot appreciate things. In a different context, if that point is presented, then the point may lose relevance to that person for a longer time also. He may not be able to appreciate. Arey, mere se kaam karwane ke liye philosophy bata rahe, principles bata rahe. Now when there is a time for discussion of principles, let's absorb ourselves in the discussion of principles. When there is a time for action, let's voluntarily remind ourselves of those principles and then get into the action mode. How much are we appreciating and how much are we understanding and how much are we absorbing and assimilating these principles is reflected when the actual service need comes to us. When the right service comes in front of us, now you are hearing and then making notes. But what you have written, you should remember when the right time comes. I should also remember. And you can remind me when I forget. So, that's what we need to remind each other. At that time, we will not be reminded. Right? When within the war, you will not be reminded about how to fight with that opponent. When the so-and-so warrior is throwing some astra, what astra you have to give, you have to respond with, will not be reminded to you on the spot. Based on whatever training you have taken in Gurukul, that you have to utilize and then remove that astra. So don't expect reminders. If you get it, that's a big thing. That's wonderful. If you have some friends or some senior people or someone who can remind you, which so many formulas I have been collecting and then keeping in my pocket, in my notes. Which formula should I come? Which should I take out to apply in which situation? That depends on one's own realization. Right? One will not be reminded of it many times.
You said currently we can absorb it better because right now our will not be biased. Later on during the services,
and different kind practical of considerations will come into picture. So practical considerations are good, are needed, they are practical. But sometimes there is a block, mental block. There are some reservations, there are some kind of analysis and partialities, dualities that appear in our mind. So because of that, we may not be able to see the service opportunity or service need with the same mindset that we have now. The appreciation that we have for this principle may not be may not come into our mind when the actual need for service would appear. I think most of you would have some small experience of this. I don't have to say.
Next, 51.
So 50th verse, Krishna gave him all benedictions, whatever he wanted. What benediction exactly that he wanted is mentioned in the 51st verse.
So pivavre chalam bhaktim tasmin eva akhilatmani tad bhakteshu cha sauhartam bhuteshu cha dayam param. Sopi vavre achalam bhaktim. See, what are his desires? Number one, achalam bhaktim. That is undeviated bhakti, devotion, unshakable devotion I want. May my devotion and dedication towards you not be shaken up by the force of circumstances and by some people who may challenge my faith. So that should be the prayer of a devotee.
I should have unshakable devotion, not wavering. Second, tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam, may I have good friendships towards your devotees. So bhakti is not just between you and Krishna. For in our devotional service, devotees play a major role, a very crucial role, very important role. So how we deal with other devotees and what kind of reciprocations and interactions and friendships and relationships that we have with other devotees is very much crucial for our spiritual path. That's why he's saying tad bhakteshu cha sauhardam, I should have friendly relationships with your devotees. Two desires. Okay. Third desire. Bhuteshu cha dayam param. Bhuteshu means people in general, living entities in general, in whichever species they may be. Dayam, I should have compassion. Basically, he asked for three things: unshakable devotion, friendship with devotees, and compassion on people in general. Something similar to punascha bhuyad bhagavatyanante ratih prasangasya tadashrayeshu. Mahatsuyamyam upayami srishtim maitriyastu sarvatra namod vijayabhyaha. Parikshita also asked the same thing. I should have rati towards Krishna. I should have friendship with devotees. And I should also have compassion and good relationships with other devotees, other people in general. So these are the three desirable things. So we don't know what to desire many times. Our mind is in confusion. So the actual desire, the actual aspiration, actual goal should be these things: unshakable devotion to Krishna, friendships with devotees, and compassion on people in general. So Krishna told Sudama, you will have a great devotion for my feet, and you will have company of my devotees, and in this world you will have a form like mine. So Balaram gave Sudama eternally increasing handsomeness and opulence. Iti tasmai varam dattva shriyam chanvaya vardhinim balam ayur yashah kantim nirjagama sahagrajah. So Krishna bestowed upon Sudama all these benedictions, and he also awarded him. So what he wanted he gave, and apart from that, what else he gave? Shriyam cha anvaya vardhinim. Shriyam is opulence, which is vardhinim, it's expanding upon himself and his family also. Then balam, strength, ayuhu, lifetime, yashaha, fame, kanti, beauty, he gave all of them to him. So Lord is as hard as thunderbolt, who defy him. Like Lord killed washerman with his fingertips, and Lord bestowed such benedictions upon the weaver and this Sudama florist. Okay. So, therefore, we should all sincerely surrender unto Krishna, since that is clearly in our self-interest. So, in all these cases, affection for the Lord's devotee is a dominant rule. Krishna is very affectionate towards his devotees. That's very much evident in all these episodes. So, this Sudama is called Hemamali. He is a florist in the upper planetary systems. So he is called Hemamali in his previous life. So although Sudama did not ask for all these benedictions, which are mentioned in 52nd verse, still he was given all these benedictions out of Krishna's causeless mercy upon Sudama. So 41st verse, 41st chapter ended with the Sudama episode, florist. He was Hemamali in Kubera's garden. For 5000 years he would worship Lord Shiva with 300 lotus flowers. One day Shiva manifested in front of him and then said, what boon you want? He said, I want to worship Krishna. He said, okay, fine. In Mathura, your desire will be fulfilled when he comes there. Like that. Next, first verse of 42. Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Athavrajan Rajapathe Namadhava Striyam Grihitanga Vilepa Bhajanam Vilokya Kubjam Yuvatim Varananam Papritcha Yantim Prahasandra Saprada
Sukadev Goswami said, as he walked down the king's road, Lord Madhav then saw a young hunchbacked woman with an attractive face approach, carrying a tray of fragrant ointments. The bestower of the ecstasy of love smiled and inquired from her as follows.
Athav Vrajan Rajapathena Madhavaha. So, Rajapata means on the path of this royal kings. So, Krishna is proceeding. Striyam Grihitanga Vilepa Bhajanam. So, Madhava, Krishna is described as Madhava for multiple reasons. One, because he is going to give Kubja Madhura Rasa now. Two, all the comrades of Krishna are in Hasya mode now. Three, for the general public, he is bestowing Adbhuta Rasa. No, Madhava, what he is doing, what all rasas he is invoking in different people is mentioned here. Not that why he is called Madhava. So this Madhava is giving Madhura Rasa for Kubja, and he is giving Hasya Rasa to the cowherd boys, and is giving Adbhuta Rasa for people in general. Three things. So, Striyam Grihitanga Vilepa Bhajanam. One Stri, her name is Kubja, and she is also called Trivakra because she is bent in three places like Krishna. But Krishna's bends are different from her bends. So, Krishna's three bends are Tribhanga form is so enchanting for everyone who is looking at him. But Trivakra is basically a little deformed shape, not an enchanting shape. So, Striyam Grihita Anga Vilepa Bhajanam. What does this Stri do? Grihita Anga Vilepa. So, there are ointments that you can apply on your body. So, she makes them. She is very expert in making them. So, she takes them in her hand and then she would move. At that time, Krishna came. Vilokya Kubjam Yavatim Varananam. Vilokya, Krishna has seen her. Kubja, her name is Kubja. Yuvati, she is very young. Varananam, she has a very beautiful face. Although she is hunchbacked, but her face is very beautiful. Paprachya yatnim prahasam rasapradaha. Paprachya, Krishna inquired from her. Krishna is described as rasapradaha. Rasaprada means bestower of ecstatic mellows. Why Krishna is described like that, ecstatic, bestower of ecstatic mellows? Because of these three things I mentioned in the beginning. He gave Sringara Rasa or Madhurya Rasa to Kubja, Adbhuta Rasa to people in general, astonishment, and Hasya Rasa, some comedy for the Gopas. So, she is moving like that. So, Krishna performed this pastime in order to show that he is the giver of happiness to all people. So though Kubja was a hunchback, her other limbs are quite good. So Harivamsa says that she is going to the bathhouse of King Kamsa. Now, that is her, job profile. Now, this Kubja represents Prithvi, that is earth. So, topmost devotee showed her devotion by offering essence of earth. So, Kubja is also a very wonderful devotee in this episode. Where, because she is representing earth, what is the quality of earth? Fragrance. So, she is carrying all the fragrances which are the essences of earth in her hand, and then she offered all those fragrances to Krishna. Right? It's like earth.
earth's quality is fragrance, and when earth has to make an offering, she can make the offering of fragrance. Kubja is also doing like that. So that fragrance is represented by this sandalwood paste. So she is also a partial expansion of Satyabhama, and also another expansion of Prithvi or Bhushakti of Krishna. So why she is hunchbacked? That hunchback of Prithvi represents the piteous condition of Mother Earth, where she is being tormented by the mischievous activities of so many demoniac kings. And now Krishna just corrects her. Like, she is hunchback and then Krishna makes her straight. Like, she is like bending like this, Krishna makes her like this, straight. So, that means Krishna descended to rectify the piteous condition of Mother Earth, to increase dharma on her surface, to cause prosperity and auspiciousness on this earthly planet. So that's what Krishna's reciprocation with Kubja represents. So Krishna made hunchback woman into a straight, beautiful woman. Krishna also would make Mother Earth very prosperous by his presence. Now Krishna is just beginning the activities. He descended, just 10 years passed, 10-11 years. He had very wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan. Now he is beginning on a massive way to kill all the demons. He will begin with this Jarasandha, 23 Akshohinis of Sena. 17 times he would come and he would defeat Jarasandha and all the other demoniac kings. Jarasandha is doing a great favor to Krishna by bringing all these demoniac fellows right at the doorstep of Krishna. Krishna need not go outside also. So he would kill all of them. And he would leave Jarasandha so that he can get another batch next time. Like the 17 batches he got. Then later also he kills so many things. This is the beginning. So right in the beginning of Mathura episodes only, Krishna is saying that I am straightening the hunchback Trivarkra. Means I will straighten the adharmic condition of Mother Earth, overburdened Earth. So, and this Kubja's service to Kamsa also represents Earth is being ruled by demoniac kings. So Krishna is rectifying Kubja's condition and then simultaneously he is killing Kamsa also. Means Krishna will just annihilate all the demoniac kings and then reinstate dharma on earth so that she can be happy. Okay. So in the past life of Kubja, she was Surpanakha. Surpanakha, who became very lusty towards Lord Ramachandra. Actually, according to some references, Surpanakha had one son named recollecting his name. So, Lamfellow, demon. So, her son had a bad eye on Mother Sita and Lakshman killed. So, that fellow came in the form of a tree and with so many eyes he was looking at Sita. And Lakshman cut down that tree, means basically he killed the son of Surpanakha. Then Surpanakha came in search for that son. And she saw Lord Ram. And she forgot that her son died. She became lusty towards Lord Ram. And she went to... See, son became lusty towards Sita. Mother became lusty towards Ram. And later, her brother became lusty towards Sita. See, demonic people, they have no... What to say... proper relationships or etiquettes amongst relationship or anything like that. Lust means like there are no father, mother, brother, kuch bhi nahi hai. Just like animals, right? They can have union with anyone, like the demons also like that. So, and later she enticed, she told about Sita's beauty to Ravana so that Ravana will kidnap Sita and then Surpanakha can have union with Ram. That was her demoniac thing. And what happened to her son is gone, is forgotten. But nevertheless, her lust is towards Krishna. and you have heard from the seventh canto, kama, dveshat, bhayat, snehat, with whatever emotion if you approach Krishna, you will attain Krishna. Susurpanaka became lusty towards Krishna. So at Panchavati she approached Ramachandra and very passionately fell in love with him. And seeing that Ram had vowed to accept only one wife, Surpanaka came, oh, you want only one wife? No problem, I will be that one wife. What happened to previous wife? I can kill her and eat her. So she came to devour Sita so that she can become the one and only wife of Ram. So Lakshman cut her nose and ears and then just sent her back. So at this, when her nose was cut like that, then she went there and she went and provoked Ravana to kidnap Sita, and then all those things happened. But still she didn't attain Ram. Ram was lamenting, and then just events, whatever events that you know in Ramayana, just went forward. But Surpanaka never attained Ram. All her plans failed. So Surpanaka went to Pushkara Tirtha. There, wishing to get Lord Ram as her husband, she performed austerities for 10,000 years underwater, and she was meditating upon Lord Shiva. So Shiva came after 10,000 years, like Prachetas. Prachetas also meditated on Rudra Gita underwater, so while Vishnu came. Now to attain Ram, she was meditating on Shiva for 10,000 years. They had such great determination, but their intentions are very poor. So then Shiva came and he said, my dear Surpanaka, you can ask for a boon. Then Surpanaka said, oh my dear great master of demigods, you are so dear to saints, I want Lord Ram as my husband. Please grant this benediction. Shiva said, you are a demoness. Please listen what I am going to say. At the present moment, your boon cannot be granted. In future, at the end of Dwapar Yuga in Mathura city, your desire can be fulfilled for some time. So of this there is no doubt. So then Surpanaka took birth as Kubja in the city of Mathura. And now Krishna will rectify her hunchback mentality, her hunchback body. And later, after few chapters, Krishna will fulfill her lusty desires also by going, after killing Kamsa, Krishna goes to Kubja's house. And Kubja, after associating with Krishna, Kubja says, Krishna, please stay with me for more time. Then Krishna says, no, I cannot stay with you. I have so many other things to do. I'll come back later. I'll go. So he went. So what does it represent? Kubja is representing what? Bhushakti, Prithvi, Earth. So although Krishna descends on Earth, he would not stay on Earth forever. Krishna's presence on earth is very, for a short amount of time. He would not stay continuously. Similarly, he cannot stay with Kubja continuously for some time. So these are various explanations given by the acharyas about Kubja. We'll continue. Surpanaka, like two kinds of explanations are given. Kubja is an expansion of Satyabhama. Bhushakti is an expansion of Satyabhama. And Kubja is representing Bhushakti. So she is a partial, this hunchbacked girl was actually partial expansion of Satyabhama. And Satyabhama is the Lord's internal energy known as Bhushakti, Prithvi. Yeah. I mean, how to reconcile both of them? How can she be representing Bhushakti also and Surpanaka also? I don't know. I didn't read an explanation like that. But two kinds of explanations are given. Both can be simultaneously true also. And second.
Katvam varorvetadu he hanulepanam Kasyanganeva kathayasva sadhuna Dehyavayoranga vilepa muttamam Shreyastataste nachirad bhavishyati
Who are you, O beautiful thyed one? O ointment, who is it for, my dear lady? Please tell us truthfully. Give us both some of your finest ointment and you will soon gain a great boon.
So now Krishna is asking, give me ointment also. So whom are you taking this for? And you should tell truthfully or properly. Because of shy, she may not speak very clearly. You should speak clearly, don't worry. Like that Krishna says. And Krishna also says, varoru. Katvam varoru etad u henu lepanam, hanu lepanam. So varoru means a beautiful third one. That was his joke, was not malicious, not sarcastic. She is having hunchback and then Krishna is glorifying, oh beautiful lady, like that. Because Krishna is actually going to make her beautiful, Krishna can say like that. There is no malice in that address. Now Sairendhri or Kubja, she is saying. Someone who is doing this servant kind of task in a great kingdom, they are called Sairendhri. Draupadi is also called Sairendhri in Virat Parva.
Dasyam shaham dasyasmyaham sundaraka kamsa sammata trivakranama hyanulepa karmani madbhavitam bhojapate ratipriyam vinayuvam konyatamastadarhati. Dasmyasmi, dasi asmi, aham. I am a dasi. I am a servant maid. Sundara, oh my dear, beautiful, handsome Krishna. Kamsa sammata. I am very, respected by Kamsa. Trivakra nama, my name is Trivakra. Anulepa karmani, what is my karma, what is my activity? I make this anulepa ointments. Mad bhavitam bhojapatir atipriyam. Whatever ointments I make, they are very dear to Bhojapati, Kamsa. Vina yuvam ko nyatamastadarhati. But you deserve these ointments. Who else but you deserve these my ointments? So you too, she says, yuvam. So by saying that I am servant of Kamsa, she is indirectly also saying that I am your servant, but she is not saying that very explicitly. And although she says that these ointments are meant for both of you, she is like more pointed on Krishna only. Like that. Sundara means handsome. So immediately she felt conjugal love for Krishna. That kind of lust is there within her since her previous birth only. So but to hide her conjugal sentiment, she is saying, both of you, I will give to both of you. Just like gopis also said, right? Both Krishna and Balram. To see Krishna and Balram is the festival of eyes. But actually they were focusing on Krishna only. So Kamsa respects me for ointments. That also means he respects me for the ointments and nothing else. He wants only ointments from me. This lepa only, anulepa only. Baki sab, like, he is not giving me any other importance. He doesn't respect me for anything else. That means she reveals her purity. Sometimes these kings, na, they will have some, you know, affairs and close intimate association with servant maids also sometimes. But although she is serving him so intimately, but she remained pure. So that's why she is saying that. He likes my ointments more, but nothing else. Next, fourth verse. Rupa, rupa peshala madhurya, hasitala pavikshitaihi, dharshitatma dadaussandram, ubhayor anulepanam.
Her mind overwhelmed by Krishna's beauty, charm, sweetness, smiles, words and glances. Trivakra gave both Krishna and Balaram generous amounts of ointments.
Rupa peshala madhurya. Rupa means beauty. Peshala means very charming and captivating beauty. Madhurya, sweetness.
Hasita smiles, alapa talking, Vikshita glances, Darshita. When she was completely overwhelmed by all these attributes of Krishna, and she was publicly giving Kamsa's ointments to Krishna, not even privately. The ointments are like, I'll give you secretly. Koi dikhega to this. They may complain to Kamsa, and then what will happen to me? Like that, she did not bother. Publicly, in front of everyone, she was giving that ointments to Krishna and Balram with profuse amount of quantity. Chai, get it. Not even like that. Like that she was giving completely. That means all the attributes of Krishna, Rupa, Peshala, Madhurya, Hasita, Alapa, Vikshita, captivated her so much, overwhelmed her so much, that she has forgotten her relationship with Kamsa only completely. What will Kamsa do? That thought also is not there. She is so absorbed here. She forgot Kamsa, and then she offered everything to Krishna only. So, Rupa Peshala Madhurya. Rupa Peshala means graceful beauty. Such attractiveness, beauty and grace were seen in his smile, words and glances. So she offered ointments directly to their hands, applied on their bodies. So she carried very little of the ointment, but sufficient for Krishna and Balram and their friends to spread over their bodies. Next. Shrutva tamaha sa Krishna. Fine. Fifth verse. Tatastva angaragena savarne tara shobhina samprapta parabhagena shushubhate nuranjitau. Now see the sequence. First Krishna took ornaments, clothes from washerman. Then ornaments from the weaver. Then garlands from the Sudama and ointments from Kubja. Full dressing is happening on the street. So anointed with this most exciting, excellent cosmetics, which adorned them with hues that contrasted with their complexions. Sometimes you mix some colors also in the ointments. So now Krishna had a lighter color ointments, and then Balramji had darker color like that. So the two appeared very beautiful. They're like drama artists. Right? Param padam bhushana bhushanangam natavara vapuhu. These are their descriptions. Sixth verse. Prasanna bhagavan kubjam trivakram ruchirananam rijvim kartum manas chakre darshayan darshane phalam.
Lord Krishna was pleased with Trivikra. So he decided to straighten that hunchbacked girl with the lovely face just to demonstrate the result of seeing him.
So Kubja is very expert in applying ointments and making ointments. So she very nicely painted on Krishna, gopi dots, whatever. So she painted on Krishna with various patterns, right, floral patterns on his cheeks and on his arms, on his chest, like that, like very nicely she painted. Full dressing is done. The dressing is completed by this. So Krishna and Balram were very pleased, especially Krishna is so pleased. So she made me so beautiful, I should also make her beautiful. Without fear of Kamsa, whatever ointment she had, she offered everything to me, and she is attracted to me, so I must give her some favor. So Krishna is reciprocating. So prasanna bhagavan kubjam. Krishna is extremely pleased with Kubja. Trivakram ruchirananam. So she is ruchirananam, attractive. Her face is attractive. So rujvim kartum manas chakre. I will make her straight. So darshayan darshane phalam. I will show, I will give darshan of the result of my darshan. Darshayan darshane phalam. Darshane phalam means result of Krishna's darshan. Darshan means I will show to this world what you will receive after seeing me. So Krishna decided like that. Let's see what he did. Padbhyam akarmya prapade. Padbhyam akramya prapade.
dvanguljuttana panina pragrihya chubukye dhyatmam udanina madachyuta sapadbhyam akramya prapade. So Krishna pressed her 2 feet, her 2 toes with his own toes. Right, he was putting his legs on her legs and then like supporting from bottom. Then dvi anguli uttana. So he took 2 fingers, pointing fingers, kept them on her chin and then just raised her like this. Then she became very straight like this. So pragrihya chubuke dhyatman. Pragriha means taking hold of her. Another point. He also gave support to her back also. So pragrihya, taking hold of chubuke, her chin. Adhyatman, her body. Uttana, he raised. So upward pointing finger on each hand under her chin and straightened her body. Okay, next. Satadarju samanangi brahashroni payodhara mukunda sparshanat sadyo babhuva pramadottama.
Simply by Lord Mukunda's touch, Trivakra was suddenly transformed into an exquisitely beautiful woman with straight, evenly proportioned limbs and large hips and breast.
So there are 2 versions. First one says that taking her chin with the index and middle fingers of his right hand, facing upward like this, not like this, and supporting her back with his left hand, he pulled up her body. This is 1 version. Okay. Next, 8th verse. And what is this version? Placed 1 upward pointing finger of each hand, like this. That's why I was little, I remembered both. If he puts both, then how can he support from back also? So Jiva Goswami says this. Either this or this. Right? Both could be true. So 2 versions. Then 8th verse. 8th verse, simply by his touch. Touch is the primary reason. Trivakra was suddenly transformed into an exquisitely beautiful woman. Mukunda sparshanat sadyo babhuva pramadottama. Mukunda sparshanat, that is the effect of Mukunda sparsha and Mukunda darshan. So Krishna wanted to show. Darshane darshayan phalam. I want to show the effect of my darshan. And now this is sparsha phalam. Mukunda sparshanat sadyo bahuva pramadottama. So far she is like a hunchbacked woman and then people may ridicule her. Kamsa may not show any interest in her. He is not very beautiful like that, people will think, but she has become very straight and beautiful. Pramadottama, best of all women. Tato rupa gunaudarya sampanna prahakeshavam uttariyantamakrishya smayanti jata hrishaya. Tato rupa gunaudarya. In the previous verse, she has become pramadottama. Pramada uttama means best of women, perfect woman. So what makes her perfect? Qualities are mentioned here. Rupa, beauty. Guna, character. Audarya, generosity. Sampanna prahakeshavam. She has become endowed with rupa, guna and audarya and prahakeshavam. She started speaking to Keshava, Krishna. How? Now her innate desire, long desire to have association with him intimately, that she is revealing. This is all happening in public, not private, on the street. Uttariyantam akrishya. Krishna's uttariya she took, antam, the end of Krishna's cloth she took, and then she was like pulling. Smayanti jata hrutshaya. And hrutshaya means her lusty feelings, the desires towards Krishna invoked in her heart as she was pulling his cloth. So Acharya has explained here, 8th verse. So by making her straight, her limbs below the chest were disproportionately small. Now they become very proportionate. So that's what is mentioned, right? Samanangi, 8th verse, first line. Sata tadarju samanangi bhratsroni payodhara. So samanangi became proportionate. So she suddenly became a beautiful girl with straight back. Gopal Champu says, if one has bhakti for Krishna, one's heart will shine with straightness. And that straightness means honesty. If there is no bhakti, straightness is only an external show. If one has internal bhakti, that straightness will show externally also. Kubja is an example. So, the main reason is touch of the Lord. And the secondary reason is pulling up her chin for play. Krishna is just playing. And Krishna is just 10 and a half to 11 year old boy only now. So just by one of his portions, he can give freedom from all faults of samsara and types of liberation such as sarupya, just by thinking of a person. What to speak of touching a person? Krishna, just by his thought, he can relieve one from this samsara and give him liberation. Now Krishna is directly touching this lady. So how fortunate she is. So just like a poor person upon gaining wealth gains power, but does not show proper behavior, Kubja also is slightly behaving in a different way. Oh hero, please come. I am full of desire. Please enjoy with me. Like that, she is immediately getting into that mode. That is catching Krishna's cloth. Gopal Champu says like this. 10th verse.
Ehi vira graham yamo natvam tyaktum ihotsahe. Tvayonmathita chittayah prasida purusharshabha.
Come, O hero, let us go to my house. I cannot bear to leave you here. O best of the males, please take pity on me, since you have agitated my mind. So,
Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, he supplies a nice conversation there.
You can give me Chakravarti Pass commentary.
So Krishna says, is this for the 10th verse. So Kubja said, now what is she saying? Ayehi veera graham yamo. Oh veera, oh hero, please come to my home. So others are heroes in religiosity and other matters, but you are hero in destroying the religiosity of women. You can just interrupt their, you know, patience. Saundaryam lalanali dhairya dalanam lila ramastam bhini. Dhairya dalanam means Krishna can subdue the patience of women. Now Krishna says, is it for the purpose of dining that you are inviting me? Are you inviting me for dinner? She says, you come to my home. Dinner, you will give me dinner? Kubja says, no, that's not my intention. I cannot tolerate leaving you. So, ehi veera graham yamo natvam tyaktum ihotsahe. I cannot leave you, that's why I'm calling you. Not for dinner, don't act innocent. Then, Krishna says, but people here on the king's road will misconstrue what you are saying and laugh. Therefore, please don't speak like this. People will have different meanings. Why are you unnecessarily saying like this? So then Trivakra says, I can't help. Tvayon mathita chittayaha. You have done manthan of my chitta. You have agitated my consciousness. It's your mistake, not my mistake. When I'm calling you, you are responsible, not me. So I cannot help being agitated. You made the mistake of touching me. It's not my fault. So prasida purusharshabha. Please show some mercy on me. So she says like that. 11th verse.
Evam striya yachamanah Krishno Ramasya pasyatah mukham vikshyanu gopanam prahasamstam uvachah.
Read.
Thus entreated by the woman, Lord Krishna first glanced at the face of Balram, who was watching the incident, and then at the faces of cowherd boys. Then with a laugh, Krishna replied to her as follows.
So Krishna is feeling little uncomfortable. She is becoming too bold, too suggestive. So Krishna was looking, elder brother is there. How can he have this kind of interaction with another lady? So Krishna is trying to prove that she is the personification of Hasyarasa. See what comedy she is doing. Like that he wanted to present to Balramji and other friends. So, but he understood her intentions. Krishna will speak now in such a way that his elder brother and the relation will remain sober there, and his friends will get some comedy, means some laughter only, and Kubja will get her right intention. Right, whatever she desires, he got that response also. So it's expertise, Krishna's expertise. With the same words, he can give the right message to different people who are in different mentalities. Let's see. Evam striya yachyamanaha, when this lady is asking, begging from Krishna like that, Krishna Ramasya Pashyataha, Krishna sa Ram, Balram. Mukham vikshantu gopanam. So now Krishna is looking there and then indicating that, why you are not laughing? Itna bada joke ho raha hai idhar. Krishna and Balramji and other gopas, you should laugh now. This is a context where we should laugh. She is Hasyarasa personified. Come and join that she in this humorous mood. So like that he invoked humor in them. So then then with a laugh, Krishna replied to her. So Krishna laughed. So that made others also laugh. That made their mood light. For example, now somebody is coming and telling you some unusual proposal in front of someone who is not very much connected with it. To divert the topic or to just make up the whole thing, what you will do? You will just say something so that both people are like, okay, he gets the right message, you should keep going, you don't say like that. And then you will just continue laughing like that. So Krishna is doing it in a more expert way. And Kubja's internal excitement is so high that at this point it's no one can control, right? By sober, instructions or pacification. So Krishna should acknowledge that also. So now Krishna has a big project. 12th verse.
Eshyamite graham subhru pumsam adhi vikarshanam sadhitartho grahanam yah panthanam tvam parayanam.
O lady with beautiful eyebrows, as soon as I fulfill my purpose, I will certainly visit your house, where men can relieve their anxiety. Indeed, you are the best refuge for us homeless travelers.
So here Krishna is very expertly saying that Eshyamite Graham Subhru, I will definitely come to your house as per your request. If he doesn't say that, she will not be pacified. He has to agree to her proposal. Second, Pumsam Adhivikarshanam. So he says, you, Pumsam means of men, Adhi, the mental distress, Vikarshanam, which eradicates. When we come to your house, men will feel pacified and then they will get some rest. So Sadhita Artho Grahanam Yaha. So Sadhita Artha. Artha means purpose. Sadhana. Sadhita means after accomplishing our purpose. So we are on a mission now. We want to accomplish certain purposes now. So after completing that, I will come. So now you should not say, I will not come now. After I have to this work, after that I will see. First, introduce a statement that is pleasing to the other person. Don't release a negative statement. First say, I will come. Next is, I will come, and after I come, what benefit am I going to get? Means that shows your conviction, and that shows your interest in accepting that proposal. Finally, he said that after accomplishing my task. And then again he ended with, Panthanam tvam parayanam. So you are the best refuge for us homeless travelers. Right? So homeless travelers means now I know only Vrajagopis. I don't know anyone in Mathura. So now one lady is coming and then giving me some hospitality. So we are like travelers who cannot receive any hospitality from anyone. Now that you have come, so we are receiving your, we are agreeing to your proposal that we should come to your house. So like that he kind of made up, as if she is giving some hospitality for some travelers, any pilgrims are going on. So he presented in that way, but she got her message and they got their message, and Krishna wanted to do his work of killing Kamsa. So all three have been accomplished very expertly. But how he managed, that's a very wonderful way. First he introduced that statement which appears neutral to people and which pacifies Kubja. So this is maybe like it seemed very esoteric, but we have a very wonderful message to take, wonderful lesson to take in our personal interactions. Someone will propose something to us, oh, we need to do this work or we need to do this, that. Then how to say no? There is a way. Follow Krishna. How to postpone? That also there is a way. Krishna is, we can learn postponing and saying no without hurting anyone, without causing doubt to anyone. So Chakvartipada writes, so like that Krishna had sent Kubja away with sweet words. Chakvartipada is saying, I think I already mentioned all this. I mentioned 13th verse. Visrijya madhya vanyatam vrajan marge vanik pathai nanopayana tambulam sragandhaha sagrajorchitaha.
Leaving her with these sweet words, Lord Krishna walked further down the road. The merchants along the way worshipped him and his elder brothers by presenting them with various respectful offerings, including pan, garlands, and fragrant substances.
Okay. Like that, many people in Mathura offered various presentations to Krishna. So, thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.